in a move that takes it a step closer to a strike by more than 200,000 public servants and threatens to test the state's pledge to rebalance public finances. The Public Servants Association has lodged a dispute with the government after wage negotiations seem to have stalled. The declaration of the dispute kicks the talks back to the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council for mediation, and it came after the PSA rejected the sweetened offer of 2%, which is being reported for the first time and was tabled last week. The union wants an inflation beating 10% increase across the board. I'm joined now by PSA GM Ruben Maleka. Evening, Ruben. Given the state of the economy over the last 3 years, the increase in payroll costs outstripping the rate of growth of the economy, with the result that these costs consume a larger and larger share of GDP, on what basis do you think it's sustainable to ask the government to pay your members an increase which is almost double inflation?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Michael, and good evening to the viewers at home. First of all, one must understand that we are in a very difficult economic conditions as a country and also as workers, because when you talk about difficult conditions, they also affect us as workers. And the 2% that you've mentioned, I don't know, you said it's sweetened, but I think it's bitter for us. We don't accept that 2%. We know that the current economic climate tells us that the petrol price is 27 rand, the food is unaffordable, one being cooking oil that is above 100 rand. You look at the transport cost. I've seen some of the comments that have been made that some employees are even saying that the transport cost is actually above even their actual net income after paying all their debts. So that will tell you that workers themselves are at a stage that they are no longer able to afford transport costs to go to work. So the Moody's and the IMF has also predicted that come the end of this financial year, December time, the inflation will be around 8%. So all of this combined will tell you that the workers themselves, the public servants, are in trouble. They're no longer able to have any space to squeeze in order to go and do their work in the offices. And more worst is that we are sitting with a situation now that President of the country, Ramaphosa, has signed 3% for public office bearers. That is also backdated to April 2021. We're talking about people that all of them, they're above a million per annum, but it's refusing to give an average employee who earns 200,000 per annum, at least above inflation. All this tells you, go back to the issue of Eskom. We are sitting every day in the dark at load stage six, where you no longer have to rely on the electricity to do anything for yourselves. Mm-hmm. But obviously, the workers there, they've managed to secure 7%. The Eskom itself has a debt that is over 400 billion rand. So if Eskom, that has a debt of over 400 billion rand, can afford 7%, I don't think there's any argument that the state cannot afford what we've made as a demand.
On that point of Eskom, the workers were out on an unprotected wildcat strike, and they are essential service workers, and they plunged the country effectively into stage six load shedding. Are you saying you support that?
Look, I'm not saying that I support the question of going into a wildcat strike. What I'm saying is that they have achieved 7% plus 400 rand increase. And obviously, from our side as PSA, we understand the labor legislation, and that's why we have now written to the Essential Services Committee in terms of Section 72.2 that says that we want the public service to agree on the minimum service so that even essential service workers can go on strike when we're going to call a strike.
On the issue of productivity, public sector employment is increasingly unproductive when you look at the various studies and metrics. Would your members be open to a conversation about including productivity targets in the conversation when it comes to increased wages? Because a growing economy, a more productive workforce will lead to greater growth and therefore increased tax revenues and the space for the government to pay increased wages.
Look, I'm not sure what you mean when you say productivity, because as far as I know, the most productive workers are the public servants. Let's give example with the issue of COVID. Who was out there in the public hospitals to fight during the time of COVID? Who were the people that were out there in blue? Who were the police officers during hard times where anybody was afraid to go to any person in terms of what you call social distancing? You know, a police officer can arrest a criminal by saying, let's have a social distancing. They risk their lives. So it is a myth to say that public servants are lazy or public servants needs to be managed in a particular. Yes, of course, we are not saying that there would be one or two that are obviously going to be problematic within the workplace. But in general, public servants are working very hard. Public servants, they're even understaffed. If you go to many offices in the public service, you find that they're understaffed. There's not enough capacity. They're even attacked by the public, like in Home Affairs, to say the queue is too long. And they forget that there are few people who can serve the public.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'd encourage you to go to Home Affairs and talk about productivity. The teachers, on the other hand, we had to encourage them to come back to the office as they were at home kicking their heels up. In the public sector, not too many job losses through COVID, many more in the private sector. I want to come to corruption. And your members in the public sector have often banged on this drum about corruption, wasteful expenditure, fritting away money that could be used to pay increased wages. Is enough being done inside government to tackle corruption?
Look, the issue of corruption is a serious cancer in the society, and not only in the public service. It is happening in the private sector. It's just that there's not much being talked about the private sector. But if you go into in the public sector, the problem is at the top. Let's take, for example, the issue of correctional services, BOSASA issue, where we have heard during the Zondo Commission how the money was shared in bulk, in the vaults to individuals. That, if you look at the top crop of those people, it's not as little public servants who are at lower ranks who could share those billions of rents. So, yes, of course, corruption is there, but it started at the top. Let's deal with the top. Let's deal with the big fish. And if the big fish can be caught, I think the small ones can be afraid to even start the corruption.
No, absolutely. And I'm in agreement there. I think the big difference between corruption in the public and the private sector is the public sector is funded via taxpayer funds. And so it does attract greater public scrutiny. Just as Zondo did say, just as a last point, that a key enabler of corruption at the very highest level was cadre deployment and has declared it unconstitutional. Are you in support of that, doing away with cadre deployment?
Look, we must admit as PSA that we are very not comfortable with the issue of cadre deployment, especially cadre deployment of people with no knowledge, skills, and experience. You find that you want to deploy somebody to head an institution where is an engineering environment, let's say PRASA, where obviously the knowledge of engineering is very much critical. But you send somebody there who's got a very irrelevant qualification that has got nothing to do with engineering as cadre deployment. That is where we are going to have a problem. But in the other in that side of coin, if you're going to deploy the relevant person with knowledge, skills, and experience, yes, and that person must also compete. It should not be a question of just being put in a position because you are a comrade.
As Justice Zondo said, there needs to be an open and transparent selection process. That's where we're going to have to leave it. That was the Public Sector Association GM Ruben Maleka talking about the civil servants' demands for a 10% increase. Government has currently got 2% on the table. This one looks like it's going to be going to a head.